Let us turn to the passage which we read and seek to consider further what we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and from verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And we were considering what we have in most of verse 17 last Sabbath evening, where there is the warning about, well, it follows on from the warning that is expressed in these words, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And no doubt the comparison is with the unequal yoking of an ox and an ass, or two different animals, two significantly different animals, who might be drawing a plow together or whatever it might be, and that was forbidden. And so if there is this closeness between two people, when one is righteous and the other unrighteous, when one walks in the light and the other walks in darkness, when one is a follower of Christ and the other a follower of Belial, a follower of wickedness or worthlessness, one is a believer and the other is a rejecter of the truth, when one is a temple of God because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the soul and the other is an idolater, then there should not be that unequal yoking. And the call was, come out from among them and be separate. They were not to touch any unclean thing. The unclean thing that would be defiled by idols and fellowship with idols. On the other hand, as we just started to consider, there is the call to come out from these things, and the promise, I will receive you, I will not reject you. Does it not remind us of the words of the Savior, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out? And no doubt we are to think not just of that, if it is indeed just to be considered as an encouragement to come to Christ for the first time, but to keep coming. And when even the child of God may have been unequally yoked in any sense, when that yoke can be given out, it can be given up. I'm thinking of the exception of those who are married. If there was nothing like adultery of the other party to justify divorce, then you see, if there is not that, then there should be a turning from that, an equal yoke. And there's the encouragement there. I will receive you. I will receive you. Now, of course, those that are especially encouraged here are those who have already received Christ, who are already believers, and yet, you see, Those who are still outside of Christ, if they not only give up the close fellowship of being very close friends with those who are ungodly, if they not only give up these outward aspects of relationship, but they do come to Christ, then what you're saying to them is, I will receive you. I will receive you. Him that cometh to me by faith, looking unto Jesus, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you see how willing the Lord is to receive sinners. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise. As if he was saying, it's an absolute impossibility that I will cast a returning sinner out. A sinner who is laying hold on the gospel truth of Christ as the one who died in the place of sinners. The gospel truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I will receive you. That's what he's saying. But you see, if we're speaking about those particularly, but that's not to deny what I've just been saying at all. But you see, if we're thinking about those who have come to Christ, then there's this aspect to the matter. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And what you have is the blessings of adoption. What a blessing adoption can be for those who have no parents, or those who have parents who are not prepared to give a child the care and attention that the child needs. If they're living such a lifestyle that is characterized by addiction, say, then what a blessing for the child to be adopted into a family that will care for that child, that will show consistent love to that child, and even more if the adoptive parents are to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's adoption in a natural context. But what you have here is, I will be a father. That's what the Lord is saying. I will be a father. Is this sinner coming out from a situation where he was in the world, coming out from a situation of false religion, coming to Christ from a situation of rejecting Christ, rejecting God, rejecting the Scripture. And he comes into the kingdom of God by faith, looking unto Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners, the one who calls to sinners, and the one who will not cast out sinners, but rather receives the returning sinner, receives the prodigal son, you see. There's your example. There's your picture. There's your comparison. The father receiving the prodigal son, and he runs. I don't know what was true of the prodigal. Was he just walking home at a steady pace? But this was true of the father. He ran. And perhaps the running was such, certainly if we spiritualize the matter, as no doubt we're intended to do. It was a parable, and therefore there's a spiritual application, a spiritual meaning, one might say. And the father ran. And the father was where the prodigal was in an instant. There was no delay. And he fell on his neck and kissed him. And he was whispering in his ear, was he? I will be a father to you. I will be a father. Oh, you rejected me. You turned your back on me. But I will be a father to you. And I will treat you as a son. And I will make you into a son. And you will never go away. You will never turn your back on me again. You will be a son. And you see, that's what the Lord is doing. Whatever failures there may be on the part of the one who is now a believer, whatever degree of unfaithfulness there might be, still, you see, this will be a son, this will be a daughter. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, we can no doubt speak, and we'll try to say a little about the blessings of the adopted child in the family of God. But you see, all the drawing is on the part of the father. And I'm sure you can take the picture in the parable of the prodigal son of Christ. Christ coming to receive the sinner. Christ drawing the sinner by the Holy Spirit. See, there's a change in the prodigal son. The son wanted to go away, and it's not just the change of circumstances. Going from plenty to a state of emptiness, to a state of need, absolute need, nothing to eat. It's not just that, though that was a fact. That was what the Lord used to bring the prodigal son to himself and to lament his foolishness and to see what the blessings of the father's house were that he turned his back on. When you see, it's the work done in the soul, changing the heart for the sake of Christ, because of what Christ has done as a Savior, as a Redeemer. And that's what makes the sinner flee from the wrath to come, to lay hold on eternal life, and to be brought into, to be willing to enter into the family of God. To be willing, you see, to enter into the family of God. What a mercy it is that the Lord comes to sinners. He has chosen sinners from all eternity. And in the fullness of time, Christ comes to the sinner where he is in the far country and makes the sinner willing to flee home, to go back home, and to enter into a new relationship. The sinner is made willing. The drawing power is on the other side, but the sinner is made willing. And the sinner is brought into the family. Now, you see, we've been speaking about the heart of the sinner. The sinner turned from his own ways and from his own attitudes and made willing. A willing people in a day of power shall come to the Lord. And here is the willingness on the part of the synod. But we must remember the heart of God. The heart of God in drawing the synod. The heart of God in finding a place in his family for the synod. And you have that brought before us in Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear. And whatever aspect you take of the attitude of God to sinners, there's this aspect of it, and it's a glorious aspect, and it's a large aspect, and that is the pity of the Father towards his child, or to the one who is going to adopt, the pity of the Father. Now you can think of the pity of the Father for the prodigal son when he was in a far country. And it's that pity that meant, that's when we're applying the matter, of course, but it's that pity that made the son feel his need and say that he would be much better off in his father's house. I will arise and go to my father. See, the pity of God the Father in connection with his children when they are in trouble. His pity for them. And therefore he helps them in their trouble. And you see, because they are children, then they have a cry going out to their father. And you have Paul speaking of the cry of the family, so that they say, Abba, Father. You see, they have the heart of children. You should be my sons and daughters. And you could put it like this. I'm not giving this as a translation, but what corresponds to this is, I will make you to be children. I will give you the heart of a child. I will give you a willingness to be children. And part of that willingness, the willingness of children, is that they would cry to their father. Now, of course, these things you have in the picture, in this picture, that where you have a child, whether it's a natural child or an adopted child, that's at home in its family, and something goes wrong, perhaps the child falls, and the child cries out to its father or mother, whichever the child perceives to be closest. You see, the heart of the child, even although it's natural parents that form a family with it. But you see, here is the heart of the child, in the child of God. Now we use the child of God as a standard expression, and perhaps we can use it without thinking of its significance. But it has significance as distinct from speaking of that person as a believer. And that can be used as a kind of standard expression without thinking of what is implied. But they're useful expressions. But they have a significance. And the child of God, well, it's an adopted child. It's one who has been brought into the family. It's one who is getting the blessings of the family. And it's one who has a heart of a child of this particular family. And that child cries in its need. I'm poor and needy. And that, you see, that was a child, an adopted child. The Lord taketh a care of me. yet the Lord of me a care doth take. And what's that say? That this person, David, adopted into the family of God, has the heart of a child of God. To whom else can I go? There's another one who has the heart of a child. Peter, as we were trying to consider these so appropriate words that he uttered, trying to consider it recently. To whom shall we go? Have you got something of that yourself this evening? Whatever troubles you may have, whatever you are feeling in spiritual things, or whatever you are feeling in your outward circumstances, and to whom can you go? You have the heart of a child and you go to the throne of grace. You have the heart of a child, and if the word of God comes into your mind in relation to your trouble, well, you say, that was the words of eternal life. Thou hast words that apply to my situation. To whom when we go, who can speak like that to me? Who can speak? Oh, you might sometimes think of verses of Scripture and read verses of Scripture, and you might be afraid to take them to yourself. But you see, if the spirit of the child of God is more active in you, then you might grasp these words greedily, and you might again say, to whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. The heart of a child, you see. And the child recognizes the father's pity. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. They're his children, you see. They fear God. They have a holy respect for him, holy reverence for him. But you see, for these people, it is reverent for them to treat the Lord as a father. To treat the Lord as a father. And that some people no doubt show that more than others. I remember a man in Lewis I used to hear in prayer at time, at a particular period. And he left one with the feeling that here was one who truly knew God, and to speak of it in the terms we have this evening, one who was coming as a child to a father that was very close to him. Now, in others, perhaps there's still the same closeness, and perhaps the same consciousness of the blessings of adoption. It's not always that it's as clear. But you see, every child of God has the privilege of adoption. Every child of God. And it would be sensible, surely, it would be spiritually wise to be in learning more about their adoption, to be learning more about the standing, the blessed standing they have. You can speak of that in various ways, like in terms of justification and regeneration and reconciliation, various things like that. But here is another way of speaking about the position of a child of God, the position of a believer in relation to God, and that is that they are adopted, that they are in God's family, that they are under the care of a father who has pity for them and love for them, who will be faithful to the covenant into which he has brought them. Now, you might think of Psalm 38. It's a psalm of David, and David is saying, because the spirit of adoption is upon him, in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God, thou wilt hear. O David, is that not presumptuous? How can you, a sinner, expect God to hear you? How? But I've been adopted into his family. He had every right to say. And you see, there's that. Thou wilt hear. That's the response of a child. The child will not be cast out. It was, I quote it again to just to remind you of David thinking of the Lord as a father. Might sometimes be a question, how much did the Old Testament believers know? And there's no doubt about this here. He thinks of God as a father. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear. He had received the adoption of sons. He's in the family. And whatever difficulties David had, whatever troubles, whatever trials, whatever chastisement, you see, the chastisement was the chastisement of a father. And can we not think of the Lord seeing David under chastisement, under his own chastisement, because of his particular sins? Can we not think of the Lord pitying David in his chastisement? David must be in these situations that he might get a distaste for sin. The sin that David had done displeased the Lord, and David must be brought to this, that the sin that he did must displease himself, and it did. He mourns over his sin. You have it in Psalm 32, you have it in Psalm 51 at least. David, a child, but the child is chastised. But you also see this in David, the spirit of a child, the spirit of a child who knows his way to the throne of grace. To whom can we go? It's as if David is speaking in these terms. That's the sum and substance of it, you might say. That David goes to the throne of grace and he is saying, there is Saul persecuting me, or there is Absalom, and he is acting as he is. But to whom else can I go? To whom else can I go? And that's what brings David to this. When he is drawing near the end of his time in this world, that he is saying, that he is speaking about the covenant ordered in all things and true, and it is all my salvation and all my desire. Where can he go but to the one who has adopted him into his family? The covenant. And you can Prabhu say that the covenant of grace you can say that the covenant of grace involves this adoption. It's part of the blessings of the covenant of grace, and therefore it's sure. No wise cast out applies to this, being brought into the family. There may be times when the child has to be put out of the family in this life, in natural things. Or in particular, that an adopted child gets so difficult that he perhaps resentful that these are not his own parents. And the child has to be put out. The behavior is absolutely intolerable. But there's nothing of that in the Lord's adoption. You see, it's not only forgiveness we have to see in bringing a child into the kingdom, but this, giving the child a new heart, giving the child a new nature, and grant to be, and the Holy Spirit working in that child to make him or her more obedient, sanctifying that child further and further, and following that child with blessings, blessings that will never come to an end. Now, the Saviour was speaking, it's in the Sermon on the Mount, we're speaking about various things that we need, what we need to eat and to drink and to be clothed with, as examples. But we're not to be overly concerned about these things. The children of God are not to be overly concerned. Why? Well, perhaps you could bring up a few points, but the one the Saviour mentioned is this: for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. They go to him in prayer, and he knows already. But it's part of what the Father expects of his children, that they would bring their needs before. It's an expression of their desires, you see. An expression of their desires. That's what prayer is. Desires for the Lord to help. And therefore that's to be expressed in prayer. Now, we know that the Lord uses means very often. And no doubt in natural things, there's means of one kind or another. It's not an age of miracles. But we're still to be expressing our desire. And very often we're wise to leave the means to himself. What means will we choose? Well, perhaps we don't know to choose wisely. On the other hand, we know there are means that the Lord can bless, and we go to the doctor, or whatever it is. Go for advice to this professional or that professional, whatever the circumstance. But if we're wise, then we'll ask for God's blessing on it. And oh, you see what the Saviour is saying, but seek ye first, in the first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these natural things, but there's this first, spiritual things. The blessings of the family, the blessings that the Father is distributing. Yes, and then at last, they are brought home to a better world. There's an inheritance reserved in heaven for those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, an inheritance, undefiled. It's perfect. This is the way of an inheritance in this world with God's blessing, but it's certainly not undefiled. But there is such an inheritance. And until they are brought there, they will be kept by the power of God through faith. The Father watching over the children until the time comes when he will bring them home. Until the time comes when he will bring them home. He has a pity for them in the low estate. There will be perfect love in heaven, but there will be no need for pity. But you see, it's where he will bring all his family. He's training them now. And then, as he is making them more and more mature spiritually, so he is preparing them for a better world, making them more and more mature until he brings them home at last. When the work of sanctification is complete, when they are ready to come into his presence, where there is no weeping or sorrow or any such thing, or none of these reasons that draw out the Father's pity. Yes, none of these reasons for drawing out the Father's pity. He will bring them into a perfect state. They're still in his family, they're still his sons and daughters. He gives them all they need. Yes. But the question is, where are we? Are we in the family? Or are we not? Are we in the family? Are we still outside the family? The Lord is calling us to come. To come to himself. Not to linger outside the family. Not to go on in our own ways, not to stay away from Christ, not to stay in the far country. Oh, if the Lord would put that in our hearts, to consider if we are still in the far country, to consider what we are missing, how much better we would be in the Father's family, and how we should seek grace to resolve, I will arise and go to my Father. And whatever you might say to him, he will say something better. He is certainly saying to sinners, why standest thou without? He is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door and come in, I will sup with him, and he with me. May the Lord bless his word to us.